Hello and welcome to Dollars and Cents presented by North Main Financial. I'm your host, Joshua Adobe. Thank you so much for tuning in with us here. 4 o'clock hour. I really do like this time of the day. I like it, especially if you're a 9 to 5 or work. You got to be the close to your day, and you can get on to what I'm sure is much more important, enjoyable stuff after the 5 o'clock hour rings. You got 53 minutes and 15 seconds left, though. I don't want you to be too quick in getting out the door there. Make sure you sprint through the tape. But in the meantime, I appreciate so much you tuning in with us here on Dollars and Cents, presented by North Main Financial. You know, as a previous listener, we're talking on any number of subjects here, looking at things often economically, financially, on a macro level, looking at things around the world and in this country that may be affecting us, but we also seek to break it down to an individual level. But in doing so, you also remember, as a previous listener, that nothing that we're talking about here is intended as a specific recommendation for you, meaning that even though we're talking on specific strategies, even specific companies, sometimes we're looking at them positively, sometimes maybe not so positively, depending upon what news is out there. Everybody's situation is unique. Nothing, again, here that we're talking about is intended as a specific recommendation for you. We strongly, strongly recommend that you reach out to your tax advisor, to your financial advisor, or if you'd like to reach out to us at North Main Financial Group, love to hear from you, love to chat with you online. You can find us at northmainfinancial.com. That's north like the direction, main like the street, financial.com, northmainfinancial.com. We have a contact page on there. You can leave us an email address or a phone number. Let us know how we can contact you, again, at northmainfinancial.com. You're also welcome to call us here in the studio. Something hitting your headlines, maybe has piqued your interest, perhaps it's something in which you are involved personally or you know some folks are involved personally on a financial level. Love to hear from you. Love to hear what's most important in your end of the financial universe. You know I can't give you any specific recommendations here on the air, but happy to hear what may be on your mind, and certainly if we can integrate it into the show, we certainly will do that. 844-788-3464. That's 844-STUDIO. For those of you who still have the letters next to the numbers whenever you're dialing it. I mean, who dials anymore, right? I mean, I'd like to dial. I heard producer Bill that there is a resurgence in landline phones. Have you heard? I can't confirm this, but I'd heard that, or maybe it's more of a niche movement to be moving forward. I don't know.
Yeah, that's not. I'm not catching that on my end.
You're not. You're not looking to install one at home?
I'd love to have one, I guess.
But you know, a conversation starter, right?
Right, yeah, that's it.
Definite conversation starter. Anyhow, but 844-788-3464 here in the studio. If you'd like to chime in and let us know what's on your mind about all things economic and financial. All right, this is our first segment, What's Hot? You know this by this point. We're talking about the kinds of things that may be on the hot headlines, hot subjects, those kinds of things.
And it's hot.
Exactly. I mean, how can you not just kind of rock back and forth as you hear that? Seriously. I mean, at least I am. If you're watching on the socials, you're probably rolling your eyes about now, saying, please don't ever do that again. And I will, just because of that. But at any rate, so what's hot? What's hitting your headlines here? Tough to be hotter, at least in my end of the universe, than when we have, let's call them a popular issue, sometimes literally called a hot issue, IPO, or initial public offering. Initial public offering is when a company comes to a publicly traded market for the first time, and the public has opportunity to buy shares of a company. One that literally went hot today as of the time of this live broadcast or as of the time of this recording. If you happen to be listening to the podcast end of things, Reddit, the online, producer Bill, I would call them an online bulletin board or an online forum.
Correct,
Would that be the most accurate way?
Yes.
To describe them. My exposure to them is primarily from the Wall Street end of things. A lot of folks on Wall Street, connected to Wall Street, will have literally thousands of different conversations about everything in terms of what they see in the markets, what they're expecting the Federal Reserve to do, what they think is their hot stock pick of the day. Of course, you always got that kind of thing going on out there. Company news that may be floating around the street. So I do like it. I don't use it very much, but I do like it from that standpoint. But there is an immense amount of usage on Reddit. And so when that came, they didn't bring the entire company public. Most new companies rarely do, meaning that they don't float the entire value of the company out for the public's purchase at the front end of things. But But a notable number of shares are priced at the high end of the range. I think we opened up around 36 when I came online, meaning 36 a share. When I came online here, I think we were close to 50. So it was definitely some hot trading on that. With popular issues, you're going to see that on the first day. Very common for that kind of thing to happen when there's been a buildup to a particular hot issue IPO as it comes to market. And this is not a recommendation to buy, sell, or hold Reddit, all right? Certainly not anything like that. Do your research, do your homework to see if it's something that's on your radar screen. But certainly there has been a lot of publicity around it, and at least, again, in my end of the universe. So interesting to see that come. Not a whole lot of IPOs coming right now, at least not hot IPOs. Those, it seems like, tend to come in waves, meaning that there are collections of them that come at a given time, and then things get a little bit quieter. So it has been a little bit quieter. So to see Reddit come to the market here and get the attention that it has, been very interesting to see. So again, looking at things that are hot on this end of the segment, and what's hot, the Reddit IPO certainly there. Now, I got to spend a couple of minutes on this. I mean, you don't even have to be a college basketball fan to know that today is the start of the big dance. And even as I was coming in here, and I love it because producer Bill, he's got about 15 televisions in the bullpen over there. And one of them, at least one of them that I saw, had one of the games on for the big dance. I think there have been a couple of 2-3 upsets already. Actually, I'm going to toss one out there. I believe Duquesne men's basketball, I believe they upset BYU before I came online here. Now, I'm two reasons for Duquesne. A lot of connectivity to all my folks there in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And then also Duquesne is in the A-10, just the Atlantic 10, just like up the street Davidson College is as well. So a lot of connectivity there. And I actually had opportunity to watch a game at Duquesne here a couple of weeks ago. So great to see them in an upset over BYU. Probably going to have a couple of other ones. So you say, what's that have to do with all things economic and financial here on Dollars and Cents? Well, I'm going to give you a couple of data points here. The amount in terms of dollars, the estimated number of dollars which are going to be bet on March Madness, on the tournament. When I saw this, I had to read this a couple of times. I mean, it's unbelievable. $2.7 billion. That's a billion with a B. So just a breath under $3 billion anticipated to be bet on March Madness, which is roughly twice the amount that is bet on the Super Bowl. Now, you can make an argument saying, well, the Super Bowl is one game and you got, 30 some odd games that are going. Yeah, that's fair, especially at the front end of things that you see. Well, you got more than 30 games, excuse me. But so you have a whole collection of games with March Madness. But very interesting, $2.7 billion. And of course, here in North Carolina, we literally just had online sports betting allowed and started. And boy, if you watch any television or listen to any news program right now, man, you're probably going to hear a commercial on it. I mean, we've got a lot of interest right now in online sports betting here in North Carolina. $2.7 billion. That's a lot of money. And I'll tell you what, that's not my end of the gig. You could probably think that or assume that as a finance person, but there is a lot of interest, and it's very, very popular. And probably with the online sports gambling now here in North Carolina and now live, that number is even going to increase because there's going to be more opportunity to do it. Ding. I hope so. I hope if you're one of them that you're one of the ones who rings the register. Appreciate so much hanging with us here on Dollars and Cents presented by North Main Financial. We're going to take a little break. Back in a minute. Hello and welcome back to Dollars and Cents presented by North Main Financial. I'm your host, Joshua Dobie. Thanks for hanging with us here. Second quarter football reference. You betcha. You betcha. I mean, every week we are closer to the start of football season. And I'm not even doing a day countdown because I know that sometimes gets pretty annoying. So probably just slightly less annoying than me telling you every single week that we're 1 week closer to football season. And I'm not saying the baseball season, basketball season, hockey seasons are all bad, but we do tend to pay attention to those kinds of things around here. So I appreciate you. Hang with us into the second quarter here on Dollars and Cents. And we were going to break there. We're talking about March Madness. And boy, if you're anywhere close to any kind of television screen, it's going to be hard to avoid here over the next couple of weeks. And so I hope you're at least a casual college basketball fan, because a lot of games going to be on television here over the next several days and couple of weeks. But big business, especially the betting business. We talked about how things just got live here in North Carolina with online sports betting. And so we really don't know, obviously, the full size, scale, and scope that it's going to be in this state. but hard to argue that it's going to move things in a negative direction in terms of participation. So it's going to be interesting to see. Going to be interesting to see the number of dollars involved. But again, that number, $2.7 billion is what I saw. $2.7 billion going to be bet on March Madness games. That is a lot of money. That's a lot of money. You better watch your P's and Q's. Make sure you're not betting the rent money either. You better watch that kind of stuff. All right, looking a little more academic here. A little bit. Let's call it a little bit more on the crossover of financial and political. There were several announcements today. This had already been in process for about a year or so, but there was some ribbon cutting kinds of things. Big interviews with the CEO of Intel Corporation. Which produces semiconductors, computer chips, among other things. They also produce some other hardware items as well. Big company, been around for a long time, pays a pretty healthy dividend. Again, not a recommendation to buy, sell, or hold Intel. But the reason why I'm bringing them up for on the What's Hot segment here is because Intel, it was announced today formally, has received and will be receiving a grant from the federal government to the tune of $8.5 billion to both build a production facility and then to manufacture semiconductors here in the U.S. Now, if you're wondering why that's out there and what it's intended to do, there's very easily ascertainable data point out there relative to semiconductors and computer chips that we literally do not produce them here in the U.S. at all, meaning that the production facilities almost completely are done outside of the U.S. And now, as so much of our life, perhaps overwhelmingly, the majority of our life is in some way connected to some kind of computer chip in some way. I mean, it's hard not to. We were joking about phone landlines. That's probably one of the few things anymore that doesn't have a computer chip directly associated with it, although I'm sure it does at the switching station or at the switching station. Boy, I did just show my age there. There probably aren't even switch stations anymore.
I've never heard that.
I mean, I even as I said that, like, golly, I just put that guy out to pasture. He's way beyond. But anyhow, so from a security standpoint, with regards to semiconductors, computer chips, there's been an initiative by this current administration to really incentivize our semiconductor companies here to build more in the U.S. And so that's really what this grant was about. It's $8.5 billion to Intel, at least in this tranche. The overall program, north of $50 billion. So we're talking about a lot of money for semiconductor companies to both start. Build production facilities and then to manufacture more, significantly more semiconductors and computer chips here in the U.S. It'll be very interesting to see that. Big dollars, again, lots of blue ribbons, lots of elected officials, you know, all that kind of stuff. You know, whenever you're, you know, going through the big celebration of those kinds of things getting started. So, all right, let's keep moving. And we've hit on IPOs, we've hit on March Madness. We got big computer chips, a very natural segue into, you got it, food. Very important stuff. We like to talk food. You're on Dollars and Cents as well. But we're going to be start out by talking about a very large conglomerate in the food production manufacturer business, a group called Unilever. Unilever based overseas. ULVR is the ticker symbol. Not a recommendation to buy, sell, or hold Unilever, but the reason why it's important, I think it's important, certainly with regards to the company itself. This has been a definite initiative on Unilever's part here over the last couple of years. And then with regards to this particular segment of their business, they're getting out of the ice cream business. Now, that just kind of hurts my heart. Now, when I say they're getting out of it, it's not like they're stopping it. What they're going to do is they're going to spin it off. They may find a buyer for their ice cream business and ice cream confections business, but I would expect that they're going to spin it off into a separate company because it's big enough to do that. The biggest part of that, or let me say, certainly one of the most well-known parts of Unilever's ice cream business, Ben & Jerry's. So when you're looking at, you know, what that's going to mean, which is very interesting, because even when Unilever bought Ben & Jerry's here a number of years ago, it was kind of an interesting arrangement. I think it still is an interesting arrangement. They bought Ben & Jerry's, but let Ben & Jerry's continue to basically operate as a completely independent entity, even up to and including their own board, which was very, very interesting. I think Unilever just wanted to have the royalty aspect income from Ben & Jerry's so much. The margins were so good that it was worth it to allow them to continue to basically have their own space, even though they, for all intents and purposes, own them from a financial aspect. But now they're going to spin them off again. And it's not just Ben & Jerry's. I mean, it is Breyers ice cream. So these are the kinds of things you probably see in your grocery store aisle. Breyers ice cream, Popsicle, literally the brand name, Popsicle, and then Klondike bars. I mean, what would you do? Producer Bill, what would you do? I mean, I think that just is a very open-ended kind of question. I mean, I understand that, you know, we want to say that we're going to do something significant.
What wouldn't I do?
What would, you know, and those things are good. I mean, yeah. I don't know if you're a Klondike bar fan, but holy smokes, are those things good. And certainly all the flavors of all the unique flavors that Ben & Jerry's has. I mean, they got all kinds of crazy names. I think they're wonderful. I mean, it's ice cream. Gosh, are you kidding me? Just bring it on. Ice cream on a stick, ice cream in a bowl. I mean, literally, I could see the sun coming out of the clouds whenever you start talking about that kind of stuff. So spinning it off, that's probably going to happen towards the end of next year, 2025, at least as reported by the Wall Street Journal. So we'll watch that, see what that means from a valuation standpoint, if they decide to spin it into a new company and allow it to go public and to be publicly traded. Certainly, we'll bring that to you as that happens. But that was big news, at least in my end of the world. That was big news whenever you're looking at the food end of the universe. All right, so we've gone March Madness, we've gone Intel computer chips, we've gone to ice cream. Next natural segue, you've got it, showerheads. Now, you know, I know, don't turn us off yet. Nope, don't do it, showerheads. You know, and I mean it, and I mean showerheads. I mean the kind of thing that you have in your shower that the water comes through and hits. Now this is in the Wall Street Journal. Don't look at me like I'm crazy. I mean, this is literally in the Wall Street Journal. Status showerheads. Oh yeah. Meaning that this is the kind of conversation that you're having at the cocktail party. What kind of showerhead do you have? Now, before you think I'm completely crazy, first of all, double check me on this. It literally was reported in the Wall Street Journal. But there are supposedly, not supposedly, these are real. I'm not making this up. That there are showerheads that have filtration systems on them so that if you want to purify your water a little bit, I guess there is some opportunity to have a filtration system on it. And then it also supposedly is, but this is how it's sold, better for your hair and for your skin. And of course, your next immediate question, of course, you know, I'm going to tell you that, you know, what is the approximate price range on these things? The ones that I was looking at, $165 for a shower head. I'll tell you what, that shower head better wake me up in the morning, drag me into the shower and shake my hand. Because that's a lot of money for a shower head. And several companies are, I mean, there's enough of a market here. Apparently, this market is not only existing, but is growing. There is enough of a market here where there are several companies in competition and literally trying to outdo one another in terms of what is the most luxurious shower head. This was a new one for me. I came across this, and this is another one I had to read a couple of times. Are you serious? Luxurious shower heads? I mean, maybe because I'm not awake enough whenever I go into the shower in the morning. I really don't. And one of the notes in the article said, you know, most folks don't have any idea the brand name of their shower. And I was thinking to myself, I have no idea the brand name of my shower head. It's not something, I mean, I'm usually looking down. Like I said, mostly about three quarters asleep when I'm in the shower. So definitely not looking up and figuring out what the shower head brand name is. But very, very interesting. I mean, there are markets out there, and it's not just the markets that perhaps that we think are most common, but the kinds of things that are out there that may be new altogether, maybe something that you haven't thought about. So whenever you come up with a new business idea, just remember luxury, no, static. That's what.
Yeah,
said.
I'm being told that the boss man here, he's more of a bubble bath guy, so he's not affected by any of this.
So he's not worried about. Now, are there status bubble bath solutions?
Right, I'm sure he's on it for sure. Yeah.
So if you're
I think he's more into status rubber duckies. How many are in your bath? Yeah,
is it like what I see with some of these Jeep Wranglers going around, like where you see like about 30 or 40 rubber duckies?
Right,
like, you got them all sitting up on the dashboard.
Exactly. That's
what I imagine that Justin probably has on the edge of the tub.
Right there.
That's a bubble bath guy. You know, it takes a pretty strong man to admit that, especially as we now repeat it over the air.
Indeed,
that he does that. So, I mean, there's always a market somewhere. Always. Doesn't mean that everything's going to be successful, but there's always a market somewhere, and sometimes for things that you never expect. So kind of interesting on that kind of stuff. And so when we're looking at that, you know, we're thinking about it, what does it mean from a financial standpoint? You know, where are folks spending their money? I mean, one of the things that we talk about a lot here, we're going to be talking about it as we get into the second half of today's show as well, a little bit of a teaser here, just talking about where the consumer is and where they're spending their money. And we're starting to see, I don't want to call it a fracture, but we're definitely starting to see some divergence in the road about where folks are spending their money. And we're seeing parts of the market now where spending is starting to slow a little bit, but other parts, i.e. status showerheads and luxurious bubble baths, that our folks are still spending a lot of money. So what does that mean as far as the consumer is concerned? What does that mean in terms of their power going forward? Because as you've heard me say dozens, if not hundreds of times on here, consumer, 2/3 to 3/4 of our overall economy, meaning that as the consumer spends, that is how we move economically. So very, very important to keep that kind of thing in mind. Well, friends, I appreciate so much hanging with us here on Dollars and Cents presented by North Main Financial. We're going to take a real quick break to hear from our sponsors. Hang with us into the second half here on WSIC. Hello and welcome back to Dollars and Cents presented by North Main Financial. I'm your host, Joshua Dobie. Thank you so much hanging with us into the second half football reference here on Dollars and Cents presented by North Main Financial. If you're a 9-to-5-er, you're almost there. I promise you. You got 25 minutes, 49 seconds until you get to the finish line. I appreciate so much, though, you tuning us in as you get to the end of your workday here again here on Dollars and Cents presented by North Main Financial. If you'd like to give us a call in the studio, perhaps there's something that's hitting your radar screen. Perhaps you're seeing a headline on the newspaper. I know, I still get a newspaper. I literally have it in front of me here if you're watching us on the socials. I love having it in front of me. I do. I like getting the black newsprint on my fingers. I know that says something about how old I am, and that's okay with me. But even if it's on your digital screens there, or you're taking a look at something, maybe coming across your news feed or things like that, you want to call into the studio here. Can't promise you we'll get you on today, but I promise you I will get to it eventually to make sure that we're hitting on subjects that are important to you. 844-STUDIO-4, that's 844-788-3464. Again, 844-788-3464 here in the studio. All right, let's keep going here on what's hot. This is very hot, and I say very hot because literally it's happening just about in real time, meaning the news conference from the Department of Justice happened just before we came on air here. And I mean, well, you hear Department of Justice say, well, this must be bad. Well, it's not great if you're this company, but we'll have to wait and see what the actual effects of it will be. So just as just before came online here for this week's show here on Dollars and Cents, the Department of Justice and 16 states, so federal Department of Justice, 16 states, AGs, attorneys general, came on and said that they were filing an antitrust suits, number of them, all of them, filing antitrust suits against Apple. And what they were saying essentially is, without getting in, and I'm certainly not an attorney, so I definitely have to say that very quickly, but essentially what they're saying is that Apple, in several different areas, has a monopolistic grip on the market, and that that monopolistic grip runs against antitrust laws, and that that there was going to be some attempt, at least from what I read quickly, at this point, some attempt to have them shift out of certain markets, or at least to allow greater competition. Now, these things take a while. There is very rarely a short run on these kinds of things because so much of it is subject to interpretation. You know, what makes a monopolistic market? And I'm not saying that in defense of Apple unnaturally, but because there isn't a barometer out there. I mean, if you have 51% of the market, is that too much? If you have 31% of the market, is that too much? If you have 91% of the market, is that too much? And you may be even answering in your head, no, no, or yes. Okay, well then where does that line get drawn? And is it the same for the technology industry as, say, it is for the financial industry, as it is for heavy industrial manufacturing industries? It's hard. And I say that not to be casual about it or to, again, be unnaturally saying that Apple is right and the Department of Justice and these 16 state AGs are wrong. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is, because it's not specifically defined and because it is so variable across different industries and sectors, it is really hard. Now, if I'm going to err, yes, I am going to err on the side of markets, but markets untethered are literally anarchy. So what did Jefferson call it so many years ago, like it was a couple years ago, but literally as he was penning the founding documents for this country, called it a natural tension, meaning what is that natural tension? Franklin talked about it as well. Benjamin Franklin talked about it. What is that natural tension between the freedom aspect of things and then also security? and where should that line be drawn? It's different for different things. So when we're looking at that kind of thing, it's going to be hard. I'm going to be very interested to see how Apple and the Department of Justice and these states' AGs negotiate what happens next. Boy, the market didn't like it. I mean, Apple sold off very quickly. It was down about 4% when we came online here on today's Dollars and Cents show. So certainly the market, and that's pretty customary, I would say, for the market, for a market reaction with this kind of thing, because it's unknown. Is it going to have a negative impact on the ability for Apple to keep the margins that they have? Are sales going to be affected at all? Are they going to have to spin off or get out of certain segments in order to appease the Department of Justice? Don't know yet. And so that's why I think the market with the unknown, definitely when the markets, you know, get into a space of, you know, nothing's ever perfectly known, of course, but where there is less known, the market tends to get a little bit spooked. Certainly it seemed that way whenever we saw the stock price move today. So we're going to stay on top of that. We're definitely going to bring you substantial updates on that as they happen. But I thought it was kind of interesting to see that kind of thing. So, all right, let's pivot here. Federal Reserve. Yeah, we talk about them a lot. I know it's not the most riveting cocktail party conversation in talking about the Federal Reserve. It is for me, which is probably why I don't get invited to many cocktail parties. That's a completely separate subject. We'll have to have a show just dedicated to that. But we're looking at the Federal Reserve and what they're, I guess I would say, anticipating. I was surprised, frankly, at the language that Fed Chair Jay Powell used this week. I was surprised at the language in terms of how definitive, let's call it quasi-definitive, that it was. And then was echoed by some of the other Fed governors around the country. And when I heard that, I thought, but that's unusual. So I'll put it out there, and then I'll give you my commentary to it, and you can agree or disagree. Certainly do your own research and your homework when you're looking at it. But the let's call it an implication. I don't want to say that they committed to it. That would be unnatural. But the implication was that there would be approximately 3 rate cuts this year, meaning the Federal Reserve would cut rates 3 times this year. I'm going to give you my commentary to it. I think we're way ahead of the curve here, meaning in terms of defining that at this point. Just in the same ways, and I know you heard me say this as well, while we were raising rates so fast that we had no idea what actually the net effect of raising those rates was going to be. Meaning that usually, kind of like when we're testing out something, we see how it's going to feel, how it's going to look when we tweak it a little bit, we see what the result is, and then if we want to keep going, we tweak it again. We were raising rates so fast, there was no way for us to have any idea what the effect was going to be. Now, to this point, I mean, there definitely are slowdowns in parts of the economy, but overall, the economy has remained relatively strong. Now we're at a space where we're just barely getting to stasis, just barely getting an idea of where the effects are starting to be felt with the rate increases. Now we're talking about rate cuts, literally this year. And I'll share with you, I think we're way out, I mean, another metaphor here, we're way out over our skis if we do that. And I understand that there is, and you know, just calling things what they are, there is immense political pressure to cut rates. Doesn't matter what side of the aisle you're on. There it is an election year. There is immense political pressure to cut rates. Now, the Federal Reserve is not, I got to say this, that they are not a political entity, which is true, and I'm chuckling because everything is political. But they are not partisan in terms of who obviously the people who are involved have party affiliations, but it's not a partisan entity. Yes, we all have politics. Yes, we all have our politics. Yes, the Fed chair it votes in a certain way, as do all the other Fed board governors. But it is. I would say again, it's going to be really hard for them not to cut rates. Not because, in my opinion, not because necessarily it's what needs to be done. I think we need to get to a space where we figure out what the actual effects are from the rate increases that we've had. I mean, we raised more in a shorter time than we ever have in our history as a country, meaning the amount that we raised and how fast we did it. At any time in our country, let's get an idea about where in the world everything is first before we get to a space where we talk about cutting rates. The other thing that's true, we just had this last week, which that's why I was very, I was puzzled. I guess that's probably the best way to describe it. I was puzzled that there was this commitment to not only to cut rates, but then to cut rates perhaps several times this calendar year after we just had a producer price index, a PPI reading last week that was hot. And then we had a CPI reading the week before that, a consumer price index, what the consumer actually is paying, that was also above expectation. And so when I'm looking at that, I'm looking at, okay, we're not quarter, we're nowhere near the supposed target 2% inflation rate. I mean, we're still 3-4, depending on how you measure it, whether you include food and energy or not. I mean, we're 3.2 to 3.8. And that I think is being generous, because I don't know about you, but if you've been to the grocery store, we're not running at 3% inflation rate. Nowhere where I am. I mean, you've been to a restaurant, it's not 3% inflation there either. And it's not to say anything negative about our grocery stores or restaurant industry. I'm just saying that the prices are increasing significantly faster in those areas than what we're seeing with these numbers of 3.2 to 3.8 year over year. So it's puzzling to me. And again, this is commentary, so you have to take it that way. You may disagree, and that's entirely all right. But it's very, very interesting to see that and to see... Let's call it a quasi, I would say implied. I mean, not a commitment. I think commitment would be too strong of a word, but certainly alluding to that. Let's call it multiple rate cuts are possible this year, and so we're going to watch that very closely, because that will have an impact. It will definitely have a short term impact on the markets. Specifically the stock markets, I would anticipate, so let's talk stock markets first. I would anticipate that they're going to pop in a positive way if we get a rate cut or two or three. I anticipate that the markets will respond positively there. I also think on the other side of things, in the interest rate universe, you're going to start to see a pullback in rates, specifically on things like deposit accounts first, meaning that savings, money market accounts, those kinds of things. I think you're going to see a pullback in those rates there, because banks right now, the ones that are paying higher amounts on deposits, they're straining. Those are considered liabilities for banks, and they're straining. It's expensive for those banks. They're sitting on big piles of loans out there at 3% and 4%, and the market is expecting them to pay 4% and 5% on deposit accounts. That's hard. That math is very challenging to put together. And for a lot of banks, I know that that's very challenging. So I think with the opportunity to pull back, they will. Well, friends, I appreciate so much hanging with us here on Dollars and Cents, presented by North Main Financial. We're getting to the end. We've got one more quarter here ahead of us. Hang with us as we hear from our sponsors here on WSIC. Hello, and welcome back to Dollars and Cents, presented by North Main Financial. I'm your host, Joshua Dobie. Thank you so much for hanging with us. Fourth quarter, we're on the sprint. You got 11 minutes, 56 seconds until you get to the 5 o'clock hour, and I appreciate so much you tuning us in here on WSIC, here again on Dollars and Cents. As we're going to break there, I was talking about something, and this is pretty big. I mean, when you talk about where banks are right now with regards to higher interest, and not every bank's paying higher interest rates on their savings and money market accounts for any number of reasons. But for the most part, when you're looking at that, one of the reasons why they can't is because, you know, a lot of the debt, a lot of the, you know, the loans or the assets, right, that they have outstanding are paying them very low interest rates. You know, a lot of those mortgages were done in the threes, some even in the twos from an interest rate standpoint. How can you have that and then pay out 3%, 4%, or 5% in interest on a savings or money market account? Some banks are, definitely some online savings entities are, but it's not easy, at all to do that. So it's something to definitely watch. So let that be a segue here into the What to Know segment. Now, What to Know, the segment here on Dollars and Cents, these are, let's call them general, broad, let's call them informative topic kinds of things, those kinds of things that may be part of your experience, maybe not part of your experience, that sometimes I'm blushing through very, very quickly here when we're on Dollars and Cents. And not because I'm wanting to blush through them quickly, just want to get through a lot of material, but sometimes it's good to slow down, talk about these particular topics or these particular items, define them, and perhaps it can be helpful to you just in a greater understanding about these financial subjects. So what I'm going to talk, and this is why I segued in this way, the one we're going to talk about here on What to Know today are money market accounts. Money market accounts. You will find them at your local bank. You will find them at many finance institutions, meaning mutual fund companies, brokerage firms, just about any financial entity will have, especially that is under the FDIC or SIPC. Those are acronyms. We'll talk about those at another show. But you will find them in any number of different places, right down and including to your local bank that you utilize. So what are money market accounts? I'm going to use big and broad definitions here. There are obviously are a couple of different iterations, with regards to the kinds that can be out there, the interest rates that are paid, how they're structured, how they invest. best. But money market accounts, I think of them as glorified savings accounts. When I say glorified, I mean a little bit different in that they're not exactly always the same as savings accounts. They sometimes have a little bit more flexibility in terms of the paper in which they invest. But generally speaking, they are stable value funds, meaning that they are generally priced at $1 per share, and that does not fluctuate, except in some instances where it does. And that's another segment, because different money markets invest in different ways. But generally speaking, the largest, most stable ones, which have the most consistent history associated with them, they do not fluctuate, so they do not go down in value, even though they theoretically can. And they also pay out an interest rate. So it's like a savings account with just a breath more of risk associated with it. Now, the reason why I'm bringing them up also as well is because of where interest rates are. I mean, we're finally seeing money market account. This is the first time in 15 years, more than 15 years, where we have seen money market accounts paying interest now that is better than the paper that it's being printed on. I mean, literally, it wasn't for many, many years. But now we're seeing money markets paying 3, 4, even 5+% per year, especially on institutional level money markets. And again, very, very attractive. Actually, when I say attractive, I mean the market knows it too. We just passed over, this was as of three business days ago. Let's say within the last week, we just passed over $6.3 trillion here in the U.S. in money markets, the highest amount ever. And in no small part, I would offer up, this is commentary, I don't have scientific proof of this, but I would garner a guess that this is probably true, is because of the interest rates that they're paying. And it's been a long time since they have paid interest rates like that. So if you can go into a space, and again, this is not a recommendation to buy, sell, or hold a money market account, but rather so that you're aware of A, what it is, and then B, the kind of interest rates that are paid with it. So a money market account is like a savings account on steroids kind of thing, meaning that it can also invest in other kinds of paper. But generally speaking, they're going to invest in very short-term treasuries in order to be able to keep that NAV or that dollar per share price very, very stable. So you'll see some that do some other things, a little bit more aggressive with it. But generally speaking, the largest and most stable ones are buying U.S. Treasury paper. So very stable, literally the most secure in the world. And they're able to pay out a higher interest rate than some other savings accounts or checking account possibilities may be. So, and sometimes there are limitations associated with them, meaning that in order to keep balances a little bit more secure in terms of their fluctuation, they will say you can only write 5 checks a month or have 10 transactions in a quarter or something like that. So you'll sometimes see some restrictions in terms of how many times you can move money in and out. Sometimes they will have minimum balances, meaning at some banks, they'll say you need to have $10,000 or $25,000 or some even $100,000 in minimum balance in order to be able to have access to those money market accounts. So again, money market accounts, opportunities to save, not a recommendation to buy, sell, or hold if you happen to have one or are thinking about one, but rather to be aware of what they are. And as you come across them, perhaps there's an opportunity for you to learn more about them. And so that's why we take that time here on this segment of What to Know. All right, Pivot. I know you wait until the end every single time in order to hear us talk about the markets. I hear from you. I know. This is why we're here. And this is all commentary at this point, right? As we're looking at where the markets are, pretty amazing stuff, folks. I do. I have to raise my hand again. Very interested to see now in the market, specifically the stock market is what I'm talking to right here. In the stock market, now not only in terms of positive performance, but now we've got a little bit of breadth. Now you're saying, okay, what's breadth? I'm not going to get too far into it. Let's say a larger number of companies and a larger number of sectors which are performing well. You heard me say almost ad nauseum that the overwhelming majority of the positive performance last year, 2023, was due to the large capitalization technology sector. That's what it was. I mean, it was large cap tech stocks that just blew it out of the water, and they carried along the averages, especially covering up a significant number of sectors which didn't perform very well last year. Now, here we are in 2024. Start out hot again. I mean, January and February, very positive. Here we are now almost to the end. Gosh, almost the end of the first quarter. That blows me away. But that aside, looking at amazing now that we're increasing the breadth, meaning that other sectors which are starting to pick up. I'm looking at you at the oil and energy sector, which underperformed a lot last year. Not every single company, but certainly the sector overall as a whole, up significant, mid-single digits to even double digits that it's up here this year. Positive. When I say up, I'm saying positive. So when I'm looking at that, I'm looking at the financials that have come out of the gate well also. that tends to be a better sign of market health, meaning that when there is a greater amount of participation in a positive movement in the market, that tends to be a sign of a healthier market. And I'm not trying to look a gift horse in the mouth here. I'm not trying to, to cast a negative eye towards a positive market. Definitely not doing that. But I do get leery of markets that continue in either a positive or negative direction for an extended period of time. And that's where we are right now with this market in a positive way. We're 15, 16 months now of significantly positive movement in the markets overall, as measured by our most popular stock indices. Certainly, there are any number of things which have underperformed and not done well during that time. But as measured by our most popular stock indices, it has been a very positive 15, 16 months. Now, does that mean that we're due for a huge pullback of some kind? Not necessarily. No, we're not. I'm not saying that, seeing that kind of thing at all. But when we're looking at what that means in terms of market strength, market health, and what the possibilities are going forward, that's better. It certainly is more, let's call it intriguing to me, especially with regards to what the Federal Reserve has done here over the last 16 months. I mean, I know I said it on this show that I expected for the market to have a retraction, to pull back, notably as the effect of higher interest rates percolated through our economy. Haven't seen it, folks. Not even close. I mean, we're starting to see some things on the edges. We're starting to see, you heard me alluding to in a previous segment about the consumer slowing down. We're definitely starting to see that. And I don't say it because, when I say definitely starting to see that, it's not because we see a crash or because we see, unnatural things happening out there, but definitely the consumer is feeling the strain of just an increase in prices and an increase in expenses, everything from the rent that they're paying to the increase in mortgage rates, car loan rates. You heard me talk about the grocery store, about how much more expensive it is to go there, how much more expensive it is at the gas pump. If you're buying a car, holy smokes, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, just how expensive that it is right now, and the consumer is starting to feel that. So what does that mean then in terms of the consumer's ability to continue to spend? Because that's what drives the market. I mean, it's not that binary. I'm not going to oversimplify it by saying it's that binary. But it definitely is one of the most major factors involved in the movement of the overall market. So what does that mean for growth? I mean, what's as far as GDP is concerned in the country, what does that mean in terms of market performance going forward? You know me, I'm more conservative when I look at these kind of things. I think it's wise to have muted expectations. Remember, if we're running above the average for a significant amount of time, we have to at a certain point run below the average in order to get, go ahead, you know what comes next, the average. So just be mindful of that. It's just math. Just be mindful of that whenever you're making some decisions about where to invest, how to invest. I get it. The things that are doing well, those are the most attractive parts because we do think in straight lines that because something has increased in value, that it's going to continue to increase in value. By the way, we think exactly the same in the inverse. Whenever things are going down in value, we assume they're going to zero. Whether we say it or not, the market does that. I can tell exactly what all of you are doing because it's public record, right? About who's buying what and how much and the intensity and speed with which they're buying it as well. So just be mindful when you're looking at your portfolio, when you're looking at the kinds of things where you may want to invest next, whether it's in something like a money market account or you're looking at something in the stock market or the bond market and you're making those kinds of decisions, make sure that you're doing so for the right reasons. I know that's always true, but especially in this time when the market has been on an extended good run, again, as measured by our most popular stock indices, don't just get caught up in the moment. Don't just get caught up in what happens to be running hard today, but be mindful of what it means for your overall financial picture. Well, friends, we're rapidly approaching the end of our time here together on Dollars and Cents. Going to do a lightning fast recap before they cut us out here. Interesting marketplace right now, and you want to be careful not to get carried away with where things are moving. You also want to be mindful of the good stuff, like Ben and Jerry's ice cream, and it's going to be interesting to see how they're going to look as they get spun out from Unilever. All right, folks, well, I appreciate so much your time here on Dollars and Cents at WSIC.
Serving you better than ever before. WSIC, Statesville, W290DK Morrisville, W264CU Statesville.